Zone. Hey! This is JJ and Alex. I made a name for myself, I told you I won't be denied. As you wrap up your day, it's time to get your fix of the teams you live for and the sports you love. This is JJ and Alex, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Come on in. It's JJ and Alex, 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, JJ, of course, been out this week. A much-deserved chunk of time off. So we've had a bunch of guys who are super willing to come on the program. I say super willing. I don't know how willing they are, but they are coming on. Boy, I tell you, they've been on.
Hey, guys, what's happening?
Yeah. How many drops do we have of Sam now? So we have what's happening? Oh, yeah.
I did a little Googling.
Yeah. I think it's really cool. By the way, every time we get a fill-in host to come on, I think fill-in hosts should be eliminated. That term. They should be hero hosts, okay?
Hero host, ooh.
Hero hosts who come in, save the day for us. And Sam's one of those. Sam Farnsworth, KSL 5 TV, KSL Sports Live, all the sports beats you can handle. Do we not call it sports beat anymore? We just go full KSL Sports Live.
KSL Sports Live.
There's no
more sports beat.
No,
it's a part of the man. That's a what's the word? I mean, it's just such a historical part.
It's
of
a
KSL
brand.
Sports. Yeah, a brand, right? But we don't call it that anymore.
It's my brand. Well,
I still catch myself calling it sports beat every now and then.
No, it's look. I've been in the
KSL
building too
sports
long.
Live.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I get it. We have a certain amount of branding we got to do. I gotta figure it out. I just thought maybe that the Sunday show was very different, but there you go.
Yeah,
Sam is nice enough to jump in. I wanted to see kind of where your bracket's at. Are you?
Well, here, let me do this real quick because yeah,
here comes the explanation. Now, is this going to be an excuse or is this going to be?
Well, this is before. Maybe a little bit of both. So you're talking about hero hosts. I think maybe today and even tomorrow when I'm jumping in here, maybe student is the better word because you know how. I guess it's still a thing, binge watching shows, right? Everyone, right? Because you have Netflix.
Netflix
stuff, right?
I wish I had something right now to binge watch. Yeah.
Remember
I can't
24?
Do it right now.
Remember 24?
Oh,
was
of course.
Hot?
It's the original. We used to get 24. So when I was at BYU, we were had to fight people at the Blockbuster.
Yeah,
because
you'd
be
get
like,
the whole season on DVD, right?
Well, we had it on, I'm not kidding. We had it on DVD, and then one part of the season, I had to get on VHS.
What?
I know, because they're like, these are the only ones we have.
Okay.
And we had to, like, get a hold of a VHS tape. So we would fight people. We would look in the return bin and be like, will you look in the return bin? I bet somebody brought back season two, right?
Like yeah, exactly.
And it was
right.
always like half of season two and the other half. And so we were fighting. I totally know. That was the original binge watch. We'd watch them until 4 a.m.
100%. Man. Yeah. So, I had friends who would buy the seasons, right, when they'd come out, and I'd be like, hey, let me borrow that. I'll get it back to you like in 3 days. And when I was still single, you know, working TV, so you'd get home at midnight, then you'd stay up till 4 watching 24.
You couldn't put in 24 to watch mindlessly.
Right.
Like, you'd put on, like, Titanic when a girl would come over, and you're like, I hope this goes a certain direction because I don't really want to watch this. But when 24 is on, you're all, hold on.
Yeah, don't
I'll put my arm around you later.
That's why middle of the night's the best time, right? Anyway, so what I'm getting at here is basically for the last 2 weeks, I've been binging Utah State basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I was in Vegas I was there for Pac-12 and WAC as well. But Utah State had the deepest run in Vegas. I was there all last week in Indianapolis with Utah State in their first and second rounds of the NCAA tournament.
These expense reports are going to be through the roof, by the way.
Yeah, hey. I was here at work well past midnight filing receipts, okay? Let's just say that. Anyway.
Is St. Elmo's on the P card, by the way?
Not for me. I could tell you, look, I was torn. I'm like, do I do this or not? I feel like if I do, I might get in trouble for spending.
You will not.
I don't know. Look, that's
Scotty
the way my
G
mind
went twice,
works.
So. Scotty G went twice. And not only that.
He was invited, though, I think.
That's what I'm saying. Other people paid for him.
So that's the difference.
That's where it works
and
out.
I kept bugging him. Like, hey, did you go to St. Elmo's? Did you Oh, you were invited. Okay. As soon as he would have said, yeah, I went and paid for it, then I would have been like, all right, well, we're going too. But anyway, so what I'm getting at here is these last 2 weeks for me have been like 98% Utah State basketball. So as I dive back into the world of sports here with you today, Alex, and I got a little taste last night with the Jazz. I haven't missed much the last couple weeks, right? I've seen the scores. They're still playing the same way they were when I left, okay? But as I dive back into the world of sports with you today, Alex, and this week, you're going to be my professor a little bit here.
Hey, good.
And I will use that as a little bit of my excuse as to why my bracket's so terrible. So there you go.
So it was a long answer as to...
Yeah.
That was a masterpiece of dog shit.
Indeed it was.
Listen, that was the worst excuse I've ever heard. You're supposed to know everything about these brackets. Now, I will say we get ruined because I got convinced by JJ... And by watching, I think because we've been so closely tied to watching Mountain West games, that I was like, oh, the Mountain West has been disrespected. Colorado State, as soon as they beat Virginia, they won that game by 20-something, right? Yeah. As soon as they did that, I was like, oh, they're going to go to the Sweet 16. Oh, you know what? New Mexico's going to the Sweet 16. Oh, you know, they're hot right now.
Right,
like, I got convinced on everybody. I didn't put Utah State in the Sweet 16 because – you got to play that number one team, and they're, again, Purdue's got a fire in their belly. It's fine. Utah State running into them was kind of unfortunate because you had number one seeds who aren't playing like number one seeds in this tournament. You know, Houston, I know everybody's kind of down on Houston because it took them a minute. I think those games are the ones that actually get them to wake up. You got to survive that first weekend, and then you're going to see Houston, I think, make that run to the Final Four, or I can't remember what my Final Four is. I don't think Houston's in it, but... Yeah. Anyway, we'll talk about our champions.
Looking at my bracket for the first time since I filled it out.
And?
I mean, look.
How many points do you have?
My Final Four, not great. Let's see. You know the ESPN thing? It's.
You're on ESPN.
I'm talking about the KSL one?
Yeah.
I got to pull up the right
Then we can
that.
Kind of compare you up against right. our boss and okay. Jeremy, who are okay. currently the worst in the group, those two.
I'll pull that up.
Jeremy and Nate are the worst brackets we have, basically.
Mine can't
All right,
be
so it can't be
I have
that
my
bad.
Full Final Four.
Okay, see, that's the way that people, like, when they want to brag about a bracket that's really crappy, they go, yeah, but I have 6 out of the 8 Elite Eights.
I will tell you, McNeese State, Sweet 16, not a good choice. New Mexico, Sweet 16.
Not good.
No.
Yeah. So, there you go. All right, we got to kick the show off. Our show is always brought to you by G2G Bars. I'm going to make Sam look up where he is in the bracket. I don't want to lose out if there's any kind of embarrassment that we could take advantage of.
There'll be plenty.
So let's kick off the program. G2G Bars brings you our show every day on JJ and Alex. A perfect protein bar. No preservatives, no additives. It's a protein bar that does not quit. You can find them at Costco, Holiday Oil, Maverick, and popping up also at Associated Foods and a lot of the other – grocery store chains across the state. So go give it a shot. Eat one for yourself. It is amazing. Let's kick the show off with the cut. Let's jump in right here.
It's time for the biggest story of the day. This is what made the cut with JJ and Alex on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This hour and the cut brought to you by Trajan Wealth, TRAJANWealth.com. That's TrajanWealth.com for all of your financial and retirement needs. They can help you out. They're a trusted local financial fiduciary. So there you go. Let me see here. Sam, the Jazz, you just brought it up.
Yeah.
And we're at a point that's, I don't know, it's not known, right? This is not, it's like the worst guarded secret. What I want to say is that losing games is a hard thing to do, right? It's a tough thing to try to figure out because if you're one of those people who says this is such a hard team to watch, it really is.
Yeah.
But Tim Lacombe brought something up the other day, and Locke kind of made mention to something a little bit in that vein because he said, "Look, it's hard because Danny Ainge and Justin Zanuck in that front office, they know what they're doing, and they have to be above the noise. Mm-hmm. And the noise is what? Your fans." Now, that doesn't mean you have to be dismissive totally of what their feelings are.
Right.
But they know something that I think ultimately we know as fans and people watching this thing. When the Jazz start next season off,
yeah,
and it doesn't really matter. In my mind, it doesn't matter who they draft. Doesn't matter what they pick up unless it's a huge superstar name in the offseason. Fine. That will be really fun. The reality is when this team ends up, whether it's next year or the year after, When they rattle off 11 wins in a row, you will forget totally. Like, by the way, the place is already filled up. Delta Center is already pretty full. I went and watched them play the Wizards the other night.
Last night they had a great show.
Yes.
Yeah.
But guess what? I mean, because they're running out of games to watch anyway.
Right.
So the home games are you know, we're getting a small number here. But I will say, if this team wins six in a row, people are going to go, dude, this team's hot. And when they win 11 in a row, everyone's going to go, oh my gosh, this is the best thing that this team's ever been. We have a really short memory.
Right.
You don't go back and go, yeah, but that team wasn't fun to watch last year. I'm not going. Like, that doesn't happen. So wait till this team wins six in a row.
Yeah.
Either next year or the year after. I mean, I don't know when it's going to be. Sam, I'm in the camp that has had to have been convinced. I had to be convinced so many times that this is okay, that this is fine. And so if you're going to buy into that, which I will tell you, you need to buy into it because that's what's going on. And whether or not you buy into it or not, that's what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So when you lose to the Spurs last night, that's actually massive because that's a team that's also trying to lose, I think. So, I mean, because I think they might think to themselves, they can't improve. They're not going to be worse than Detroit.
Right.
And I think over in the East, who else is the other really? Is it Washington too? I think Washington's an 11 or 12 win team also, or 12 or 13 win team. So at this point, with 16, now 17 wins, the Spurs can't catch up, so to speak, can't fall down further than those guys.
Right.
So they're at where they're at. And the Jazz, by the way, are kind of at where they're at. And you're not going to see them win a lot of games the rest of the way. I'm not convinced that they're going to go 0-for all the way through. There's going to be some team that slips up in there. There's going to be some team who's going to go, we're setting our playoff spot. We're going to sit our guys, whatever. They play Golden State twice.
Yeah.
Steve Kerr is not above going, we'll sit out this one.
Right, 100%.
Let's put Draymond in. Right? That's where they've gotten now.
Exactly.
Put Draymond in. Draymond, that guy is a freaking mess. Anyway, I just wanted to say, losing their third straight home game, losing to one of the worst teams in the league, while you watched a little bit of a show last night at the same time. Because what was it at the end of the first quarter? 37-20?
Yeah, they were torched. And then they won the second, third, and fourth quarters by 2 and 3 points. You know, it just wasn't enough to make up
They couldn't do it. So I'm okay with the way they're at right now. I'm not going to totally give up because I'm trying to have that long-term. My ADHD doesn't allow me to set long-term goals very well. So this is good practice for me and for my mental health.
Well, whether you're okay with it or not, you have to be.
That's exactly right.
In the famous words of Bronco Mendenhall.
Yeah.
Has to be okay.
Has to be okay.
If you don't know that reference, then don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's really
good.
You'll
figure it out. Anyway, has to be okay right now because that's what it is. And you go back to, you know, what you said, losing is not easy in the NBA. 100% true. Go back to last year when they should have been losing.
Yeah.
And it was hard. They started to win and win a lot at the beginning, and they blew their chances at a great draft class. Look, yeah, am I a little bitter about the way they handled last season? Yeah, you say that Zanuck and Ainge know what they're doing. Well, I think the Jazz fans out there are a little conflicted because if they knew what they were doing, why weren't they playing like this last year to get a better draft pick? I'm not saying
they did at the very end.
I'm not
saying
Taylor Hendricks and Keontae George won't pan out. I think they might.
I think Keontae's
on a great track. I think Taylor Hendricks still has all the measurables, all the intangibles, everything that everyone talks about that is in one of those unicorn-type players to become something for the Jazz. But it's just taking time. You're going to have to be patient there. And now that they're losing this year, you know, you're going to have a top 10 pick in the draft in a class that's kind of meh.
Meh class. All right.
You know, there's always someone out there. I think what it boils down to is your scouting. And, you know, if you have good scouting, if you can identify talent, you're going to find a great player at number 9, at number 14, at number 18, whatever the pick is. You know, you're going to find a great player if you have the right scouting. You know, go Donovan Mitchell. We've heard the stories about that, how they had this amazing workout here in Salt Lake City, and they kind of told everyone, all right, guys, this stays in-house. Tight lips. We're not leaking out how great this workout was. This is the guy we want, you know. And look at Donovan now.
Right.
You know? And so there
look
are
at Donovan
those...
now. He's coming back to Salt Lake on a triumphant return with the Cavaliers in, what, a few days.
Yeah,
so there you go.
So there are those players that in this upcoming draft class, but at the same time, it's just like, ugh, it's brutal, okay? Yes, if you're a Jazz fan, you're going to have patience because it's going to be more than just next year. When they have a six-game win streak, they had a six-game win streak this year. They won 9 out of 10 this year.
Yeah.
And then they just – everything fell
but again,
apart.
While it was happening, we were – what were we saying about that, you know? What were we saying about all that when it happened? We were like, oh, this is such a fun team. What a talented – what a fun
team.
Yeah,
100%, right? Talking about how great Keontae George is developing, Lowry being an all-star player again, the way Jordan Clarkson, they moved him back to the bench and he was playing phenomenally, right? All the narratives that were going along with that at the time. They finally found their backcourt rotation, all those things. Well, you know, no one's saying any of that now. And you know what? It is what it is. And again, as someone who's been around sports for as long as I have, as long as you have, Alex, as long as a lot of our listeners have, you get it. You know that a lot of teams go through these processes, and it's usually pretty cyclical, but you just have to wait a few years before it winds itself back around to having a perennial playoff team that might be considered a contender. So, you know, again, it just goes back to Danny and Justin. Do you have faith in them? Well, I believe because they have a good track record. We just have to have patience to see if it works out here.
I wonder if next year ends up being, you know, I know that we're looking forward to you know, a brighter future. The problem is I don't know if, when I say the problem, I think that part of the process that they're doing now, and you're supposed to quote unquote, to go full on back to the 76ers, trust the process.
Yeah.
I get it. And I'm going to just go full on. It's less of the faith in Danny and Justin Zanuck believing in those two. What I do have though is some hope, right? I have no ability to just be able to be like, hey, I will say obviously those guys are smarter than by the way, they're smarter than all of us when it comes to this. That's yes. There's a reason that right. They're getting paid for this.
Right.
So criticizing them is not worth our breath.
No.
It's worth us going, I think there's something to be had here. I know that there's something that we can look forward to. The cool thing about a night like last night is I'm listening to Locke in the first quarter, and the Jazz were such a disaster in the first quarter. Like, it was such a mess
right. Yeah.
That all you could do is go, how cool is Victor Wembanyama, dude?
Yeah, like, no kidding.
He comes out. He had two alley-oop dunks in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And he had like three blocks in the first
quarter.
One of
them was he blocks Markkanen at the rim.
Right.
Flies back down the floor the other way.
Ties his shoe.
Yeah.
And, the alley-oop. It was so bad. Oh, my gosh. And the call on the radio for that. I actually went back and watched the highlight because the call on the radio was Locke going, I don't even know what's going on right now. Like, I don't know what I'm seeing. This is crazy. Like, it was such a weird, like, back and forth. And you know what? That's where the Jazz season's at right now.
Yeah.
Like, look who – I'm not trying to pick on Omer Yurtseven, right? Mm-mm. But, you know, when you're leaning on guys like Omer Yurtseven to be having significant minutes, you're not going to win a bunch of games in the NBA. I love that he works hard. Great. I love that he works hard for Will Hardy. Wow, he plays so hard. He works out so hard. He works so hard to be good. He's not going to take you to the promised land.
No.
Currently, Bryce Sensabaugh is not going to take you to the promised land. Fill in the blank. I mean, is Talon Horton Tucker, is his suspension over yet?
Lucas Šamanić.
Šamanić is not going to take you to the promised land. THT, I think we were kind of hoping was going to be maybe gone at the trade deadline. That's the only one thing. Now, again, and we go, oh, shoot, I can't believe they didn't get rid of him. I was like, well, no one was calling for him.
No one wants him, especially at the price that he's at.
Right. Now,
so,
interesting time to be a Jazz fan. Interesting is a good way to put it. But the rest of the way, let me give you the rest of what the Jazz schedule is, because they're taking on a Houston team on Friday, which, by the way, they're probably going to get the doors blown off, right? The only thing that could be fun that would happen – oh, no, it wasn't THT that had the run-in. Who was it? No, it was THT. Was it him who had the – who got suspended just now?
Chris Dunn.
Oh, no, it's Chris Dunn.
Chris Dunn.
Chris Dunn and Jabari Smith Jr.,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, look, they're going to come back. The Rockets are going to come back to town on Friday, and it's not going to be a phenomenal game either, all right? They might get the doors blown off. They lost by 30 to those guys a couple days ago. Now, they could win this game. They could win this game, too.
Yeah, 100%.
That's what's funny about this.
They could win, like, four more.
Right. That's why it's interesting to kind of get caught up, because if you start really freaking out about where the team is at right now, mm-hmm. It's a tough one to do. I'll tell you the rest of the schedule here. So you got the Rockets. By the way, they're not going to be – don't look for the line to be a minus anything for the Jazz, mm-hmm. All right? They are going to be underdogs in every one of these games, including the ones at home. Rockets versus the Jazz tomorrow night. The Kings, the Jazz go to Sacramento on Sunday. The Cavaliers come back here on Tuesday. The Jazz go back to the Clippers on Friday. Sunday, the Jazz host the Warriors. The Jazz go to the Warriors. The Jazz host the Nuggets on Tuesday. Are you hearing this? Clippers, Warriors, Nuggets. Rockets, Clippers, Warriors, all right? They're not going to be favored. Now, again, like I said, the bonus that you get at this time of year is the Nuggets are close enough in a first seed race that they're going to be playing there. They're going to be winning games.
Right.
But they can do that with their eyes kind of closed right now. The Rockets, I'm not sure how much they can improve their stock in the West. Jeremy, you follow the Rockets. Tell me what their possibility is in the standings here. They're winning.
That's all that matters.
That's what I'm saying.
They're a game behind Golden State, I think.
They're one game behind.
So that's
what's
where Golden State
from
Draymond might be a little more.
That's where Golden State might go at it. Oh my gosh!
But Houston's going to go at it too. Here's the thing:
Houston looks at their schedule and goes, "We got the Jazz two more times. They have the Jazz three games left still.
Yeah.
Right? So they have the and they go like this: Look, we got the Jazz Friday. We got them again on like in two more weeks before the end of the week. Or before the end of the season. They got the Jazz three games. They're like, the Jazz don't want to even win those games. Let's win them all by 20. They're looking for a path.
Houston is, yes.
They're absolutely looking for a path to be able to. And the Jazz have lost seven in a row. And the Rockets have won 10 in a row. There's a reason that this is important to them.
By Friday, April 12th and Sunday, April 14th, when the Jazz wrap up the season on the road at the LA Clippers and at the Golden State Warriors, they don't have to worry about, you know, trying to place said player for the fans here at home anymore. Your starting lineup is going to be something like Omer Yurtseven, at the five. Bryce Sensabaugh will be out there. You know, who knows? Micah Potter, Luka Šamanić, Kyra Lewis. THT.
Hey, can we get
Johnny Juzang? I'm just telling you, the starting lineup is going to be guys that are going to be playing 30 to 40 minutes that have been averaging maybe 8 minutes a game all season just to get the season over with a couple of losses.
I know Otto Porter was sent home. Can we get him back?
Yeah, for two games.
For two or three more games.
We'll let him start. He can play as much as he wants.
If he comes back, he's starting, dude. Come on. That's part of it. Okay. My goodness. This is such a weird time to be a Jazz fan because you just
I'm telling you, having
lived in a city.
It's at that point where just get to the end. Let's get to the draft.
Let me just tell you right now. It's opening day in baseball.
Yeah.
I have like a sliver of hope that the Mariners will do okay, but I know how this is going to go. All right?
How many games can the Mariners win and still be eliminated before the ALDS?
Now, see, that's the thing is, I think that they
110?
Won. 110? Well, they won 90.
Can they win 110?
They won 116.
And still not advance in the playoffs?
They won 116 games.
Sorry, in
2001.
Dig at the Mariners.
Yeah, but the last year they were 88 or 90 wins or something like that, maybe even 92, and they didn't get in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So I know how this goes. I'm telling you, other cities live through this either constantly or certainly way more than Jazz fans have had
There's a lot of fan bases out there.
Right, and so you just have to be patient, trust the process, whatever. I don't care what you say about it. I just am telling you that you don't know how good you've had it. And I think Ben Anderson may have said this. Maybe it was Locke. I think it might have been Ben Anderson on their show. He said they've widened that standard deviation for like where the average, right? And for the Jazz, the average is to win 46 and a half games and go to the playoffs every year. That's kind of, if you were to look at an overall like average of the Jazz, it's to go in and you're likely in the playoffs. That's the world you've lived in.
You know what that is?
What?
A plain vanilla cone.
Oh, boo. But see, that's what I'm saying is that he talked about it being a lowering of the floor, but a raising of the ceiling also.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. There's innumerable toppings you can put on a plain vanilla cone.
There is. And that's why this program has been brought to you by whatever the flavor of the day is. But when I was a kid, it was TCBY. That was like the
TCBY.
Thing. It was the yogurt. It was
frozen
the yogurt place.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They were ahead of their time. My goodness. All right. When we come back, we've got a couple of things to talk about. It is opening day in Major League Baseball. I want you to picture in your mind's eye how that will look in 2030. In 2030 for us. Like, I know we kind of go, hey, I got a fun team to cheer for. I do not. It does not matter.
No. Nope.
It does not matter. Give up on that team.
Yep.
Start throwing your gear away now, because in 2030, we're going to be hosting an MLB team here, and opening day will mean so much more. We'll talk about it next. We've got so much more. Sam Farns, we're sitting in for JJ today on JJ and Alex. We've got tons to come right here, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Ladies and gentlemen,
the biggest name. You're locked into JJ and Alex. With the insight and analysis on the teams you can't live without. Presented by G2G Bars. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is, I think we determined this is Billboard. It was on the Billboard Top 10 in 1983. I think we looked it up. We gonna rock down to. So you might be wondering why we're playing this. Because the baseball team is going to be playing in the Power District, I've told people, if there isn't an Electric Avenue there already.
Hey, I'm on board already.
Then there needs to be one.
I'm on board already.
Part of our six-year push. When we get a Major League Baseball team here.
Dude, we gotta reduce that to four.
To get Electric Avenue going. I know, but it was so hard to hear this week.
I heard it yesterday.
Yeah, Hanson Scotty had Bob Nightingale on from.
I heard him. I don't think he was believing in himself either, though. Look, like maybe this is just me being the baseball fan here in Utah.
What does he know?
He's just kind of like, well, you know, I mean.
My favorite was, too. And you know what?
I'm like, whatever. 28.
The best part was when he goes, yeah, they're definitely the top runner-up to Nashville. I was like, no. Yeah. I mean, I get it. You can't expand with one team. That's the whole thing is that you're going to have two cities.
Yes.
The problem is there's such energy around it right now. How do you maintain it? Do you just keep releasing renderings every year?
I
got it.
That's a part of it.
Yes.
That's a part
Jersey
of it.
Jersey renderings. Yes. You got to get a team name.
Get some name. But like,
now, they can't be
fan voting going on here.
So you can't make it real, though, because the ownership can't get involved and go, but what we do is we help out the bid by saying, let's have a bracket. Let's have it. We're in love with brackets all
there
the time.
You go.
Let's have a Sweet 16. Can we call it that?
Brought to you by.
Can I even say that? Okay.
Let's have a final eight games.
Oh, it's the Dulce Dieciséis. That's what we're going to call it. Call it the Sweet 16. Just call it. Do it in Spanish. The Dulce Dieciséis. So we're going to have the Dulce Dieciséis. All right. And we'll have votes on food items that we need to have at the ballpark.
Yes.
We do that one for one full year.
Unique Utah-based, whatever.
Yeah.
All that's, I mean, of course.
Well, you have to have fry sauce flavored Jello.
Oh,
like just barf, a full
dude,
on.
I saw something in the news yesterday about who is it that's coming out with it? A hot dog sparkling water.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
So Jones Soda. Jones Soda.
That was a
Seattle.
Masterpiece of dog shit.
For April 1st.
Yeah.
So April Fools.
You're familiar with Jones Soda, but Jones Soda is like, you know, one of these glass bottle sodas.
7-Eleven. Sorry, 7-Eleven.
Oh,
hot dog sparkling water.
It was a niche, small kind of soda company. They do the
Sugar. I remember Jones.
So Jones is in Seattle, and what they did to roll out football season one year was they had a sweat flavored soda.
Ugh.
They had a natural grass flavored soda.
Okay.
They had everything that was just like disgusting. They did. I think they had like a nachos soda. It was a pack you could buy.
They've got a Thanksgiving dinner.
Yes,
soda.
They do. They have this. That. Well, they had the full pack. You got like the turkey in the middle, the gravy on the outside, pumpkin pie. Anyway, regardless, we do a Dulce Dieciséis.
Okay.
For food items.
Yeah.
We come up with a name for the for the streets that are around there.
Right.
You got to have like Larry H. Miller Way, right?
Yeah.
You've got to have Electric Avenue. All right.
I mean, that's the only way you keep momentum going, though. You have to gradually.
Yes, you got
to
do something.
You can't just dump it all at once. And I think they've done a good job so far.
Yes.
But you got to gradually continue. You got to ride the momentum of like today, opening day. They should have had like an opening day baseball celebration over there in the Power District. right? Just some big party with some screens on, games going on,
yeah,
for
not,
baseball
hey,
fans to come and,
you know,
and
what?
To be like, this is where our stadium would be. Have you ever been to an opening day before?
I have.
Okay.
I have.
Amazing,
when we were
right?
kids,
we're
when
in
we were
Seattle?
Kids, we would skip. We skipped when the opening of the of Safeco was my freshman year in college, and we totally skipped on classes that day and went
so,
to and went to the ballpark.
Opening
the new
day of a
ballpark.
Brand new ballpark too.
It was
that's
like 10
amazing,
bucks to go.
Right?
It was like, wow, those are expensive tickets in the outfield. What are they? $14? I'm not paying this astronomical number.
I mean, for 10 years, I was spoiled to be able to cover opening day for the Colorado Rockies, and I still remember my very
that's
first one.
That's pretty cool.
I had been at this station in Colorado Springs for maybe a month, and they're like, yeah, you're going to go to opening day. I'm like, I get to do this already? And I show up, and just the fanfare, the downtown atmosphere in lower downtown Denver, they call it Lodo, down there where Coors Field is, I'm telling you, the streets all around the bars and restaurants, they are packed. And the game doesn't start till like 1 or
right.
whatever.
Yeah.
But they are packed.
It's a de facto
everyone,
holiday
yes.
for the entire city. And we
yes.
don't have, by the way, we don't have something like that with football.
Nothing
football
like that
doesn't
here in Utah.
Do that.
Football, no.
Well, and like, even if we had an NFL team here, the NFL doesn't
no.
do like that's not a thing.
No,
people don't sell out.
Because it's a weekly thing.
Right.
It's a weekly thing in football. You go tailgate all day,
right?
Right. But opening day, and it's not just opening day, it's the whole opening weekend, the whole opening series, but really on opening day, it is such a party. It is such a good time. You don't even have to be a big baseball fan. You show up to the Power District and you party all around there.
Oh, yeah.
And then for the people who have tickets, you go into the game. For the people who don't, you stay there at the sports bars and you watch the game while you're eating good food. And it is just such a good time. All the festivities that happen in the ballpark when they introduce the lineups and just everything about opening day is so awesome. And for Utah to be able to experience that every single April/March, whatever.
Yeah, that's where
every
we are now.
Every single spring is just amazing. We need that here. And
I want to remind you, too, here's the reality of it, too, Sam. Imagine if there was a baseball team here right now.
Yeah.
Okay? With the way that the Jazz season has gone, our lives would be significantly better because hope springs
totally.
Eternal at the beginning of that year, right? You go, dude, the Utah Yeti are going to be amazing this year.
Right. There's brand new optimism in April. In April and May. Always brand new. So look, yeah.
Look at the Yeti starting five this year. Look really good.
The Jazz could be playing terribly right now, and you're like happy going to a Jazz game because it's like, hey, guess what? Tomorrow's opening day.
Right. Right. Okay. And then we can't, of course, forget the fact that hockey would still also be we'd be getting into the Stanley Cup playoffs right now.
Yes.
Right? So there would be so many things that you'd be able to forget.
Pour it all on
you.
You
could forget
pour it all
where
on
you
me.
Were at.
I want it.
I want all this.
I want to bathe all in all of this.
So opening day right now, our jealousy runs deep right now for teams like,
oh
you know,
gosh.
Houston's hosting the Yankees, right, for opening day. That's a good matchup. Those are teams who are kind of perennially good. The Yankees were, what was it, the least amount of wins they'd had in a season for like 14 seasons or something like that last year. This is why we love baseball. I don't care what you say about how boring it's gotten or whatever. I can fall into that trap sometimes too where you go, yeah, it's hard to watch a game now. I grew up loving all the other sports on TV, and baseball was a hard one as a kid to stay focused on, an ADHD kid to focus on. So you know what my dad did? He gave me a scorer's book.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Awesome.
So I'm sitting at home, and we would have snacks out, and we'd be watching the Rangers game, right? I got to watch Nolan Ryan on TV throw a couple no-hitters during my time when I was a kid. I got to watch him in person pitch games. I was there in person when he got thrown out of a game for throwing at a couple of the Oakland A's. And it was so crazy because you don't throw out Nolan Ryan from a baseball game.
Right.
But he's old school. He was giving chin music to everybody. Jose Canseco was getting it. He gets warned. Next guy comes up, he hits that guy in the ribs, and they're like double warning him. There's a double warning, Nolan. Nolan's like, I'm older than you, to the umpire. Like, you can't do anything to me. Hits like a third guy in the game, and they toss him, and everybody threw their garbage
Love
onto
it.
The warning track.
Love it.
I was there for it, and I was like, you know what?
What
I wasn't
story.
There for him beating up Robin Ventura. I wasn't him for. Right. I wasn't there in person for him to throw a no-hitter, and he threw seven of them in his career, but, I mean, even when he was old, I think he was 44, he threw a no-hitter.
That's great. Yeah.
And I'm telling you, the Rangers sucked growing up. They're the World Series freaking champs now.
Hell yeah.
And so you look at them now and you go, man, I didn't care. The Mariners have never been great. Although I will say I did get some really fun years.
Oh, yeah.
In those Ricky those latter years of the Kingdom.
There, yeah.
Dude, the opening lineup Tino. For those types of games. Yes, you had Edgar Martinez. You had Jay Buhner.
Yeah.
You had Griffith. You had a young Alex Rodriguez at that point, too. It was an insane lineup. And they never won anything. It didn't matter. But, man, it was so fun to go to those games. Imagine your life today.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
If it were opening day here.
Yes.
That's what we're talking about.
You know what's great? Opening day on the road. You know why? Because you still celebrate opening day.
Yeah.
And then a week later when they come home, it's a home opener.
It's a home opener.
But it's opening day at home, and it's still the same party. It's great.
All right. See, Sam has covered these, you guys. Just believe us when you say it.
It'll be amazing.
And look, there are a lot of people who've never lived outside of Utah, and they have a Major League Baseball team. Maybe they're Braves fans or Cubs fans, depending on what cable station you're watching when you were a kid, because that's how people got to be fans of the Braves around here. But when you look at it and you go, this is so exciting, and you haven't been to an opening day before, it's crazy.
Yeah.
My sister got proposed to at a World Series game in Fenway.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
She had to say yes.
She said no and then said, take me back tomorrow to game 6 and maybe we'll do the same thing again. Okay. By the way, the Yankees just tied it up with a home run.
My goodness.
It was 4-0 for the Astros. And then I think who was that that just hit that?
Someone with the number 95.
Yeah, Cabrera.
What did he do? Make the roster on the last day?
Yeah, yeah. No, Cabrera,
Let's
dude.
Let's see. That was
– Come on.
Yeah, it was Cabrera.
Hits the homer. All right, we've got to take a break. We'll come back. We got our BYU spring football update. By the way, we're doing spring football. When we get just excited for spring football, imagine how excited you would actually get for a Major League Baseball team here. Okay, we'll come back. We've got more to go. Nominate your youth sports volunteer that you want to be the Hercules Hero of the Week. Submit your nomination, kslsports.com/contest. And listen, every Thursday afternoon, that's today, by the way, our show, every Thursday we read off the winner. We'll do that next hour. But you can nominate someone, kslsports.com/contest. Anybody who makes an impact in your local area. I don't care if it's a volunteer or if it's somebody who's coaching at the junior high for, you know, pennies compared to what they're doing for these kids. My heavens. Let's give them a gift card courtesy of the folks at Hercules Credit Union and make them the Hercules Hero of the Week. We'll give you our winner for this week and give them kudos. Next, right here, we've got more to go. Bring BYU Spring Football Update next, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
This is your Cougar Spring Football Update on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
What's the best baseball town, though? We were just talking about this because it's opening day and the Yankees and the Astros are playing each other. But if you go to Yankee Stadium, it's a tourist attraction now.
Yeah.
Right? And I wouldn't say that the Yankees fans and people in New York are not baseball fans. They might be the biggest fandom of baseball still.
Right.
But what's a great, underrated baseball town? I'll tell you, having lived in Seattle, that is an insane fan base.
Okay.
It's an amazing ballpark. The ownership's awesome. That is, and they're insane for their team.
What do they like better, the baseball or football?
No, you can't beat the Seahawks. But the stadiums are right next to each other, and so, you know, they're rabid. When they get when they expand the NBA and they get Seattle and Vegas in there, it's going to be they love their team so much.
So
underrated Seattle for sure. Underrated. I'm trying to think other places I've gone to see baseball games. I've been to Wrigley. It's fine. Again, kind of a tourist trap more than anything. But I'm trying to think of what an underrated baseball fan group is.
So I don't know about underrated, but I'll tell you this. I mean,
here come the Rockies.
No, Denver's a good town, but they're never going to match the fandom of the Broncos. Not even close.
Yeah.
But Denver's a good baseball town.
Sure.
I think they love baseball more than they love the Rockies, though. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
They love to go to the ballpark on a beautiful summer evening.
Like the Rockies
in
are
Colorado.
Like, wow. They're not like, wow, what a tradition.
Yeah, a beautiful night. A beautiful
Clay Helton and Larry Walker and
Todd Helton, by the way.
Oh, sorry.
There you go. But that's okay. See, you just proved my point. Anyway, but it's a great place for a summer evening to go and just hang out at the ballpark, right? St. Louis, though. And I know it's not underrated, but St. Louis is, for me, That is a baseball. Like, even when the Rams were there,
yeah,
people cared more about the Cards than they did the Rams.
Yeah, and old school.
That is a great baseball
franchise.
Town.
Yeah, yeah.
Go to St. Louis to a ball game someday, if you haven't.
My son's baseball team, by the way, they're the A's this year. I thought that was really lame.
Yeah.
It's fine.
The Outcasts, right? Is that what same guy said?
I was like, you know what? It's kind of the only A's team that's going to be here playing in the state of Utah. In the summer. All right. BYU spring football update. I want to bring you a couple of the things that we didn't get to yesterday. And BYU, Isaiah Glasker, he's one of these young defenders for the Cougs. Guy who's got a lot of upside, huge body, 6'5", 230, linebacker for the Cougs. And, boy, they got to have a presence of getting to the quarterback, right? You got to have a presence of guys. You've got to replace some of these veterans who've been there, too. Here's what Isaiah Glasker said about how the offense is pushing the defense this spring.
Really, it's just the competition. I feel like the competition is really stiff right now. So come season time, like, I feel like we're going to be like super good just because we got a great offense that's pushing us to be the best, hopefully the best defense in not even only the Big 12, but nationally. So I'm excited for what's to come.
I hope that's a name people start to get used to and they hear a lot more. He has the potential, obviously, to be able to be that guy. But
Talking about Isaiah?
Isaiah Glasker, yeah.
He was awesome at Bingham High School.
Yes.
I mean, I still remember watching him on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if BYU were to say, hey, Isaiah, we want you to run at tight end a little bit here, I'd be like, yeah, do it. Why not? I've seen him run with the football.
Put on 20 more pounds. Let's go.
But or just throw him in the slot or something. I don't know. You know?
Sure.
But, yeah, I agree with you 100%. Isaiah Glasker, he is a talented, talented football player. I hope what he did in high school translates to the college.
Speaking of moving somebody to tight end,
yeah,
how about Keanu Hill being asked to do a little something extra? Fessy Satake talked about that. That's already a tight end group that is very, very young, and so maybe adding a guy who's got a lot of veteran experience could help out a lot. So here's what Satake said about moving Keanu Hill to tight end.
It was a collaborative deal. That was a deal where, you know, exit interviews, it was basically like, hey, if you want to play receiver, like, and you're locked in, there's no ifs, ands, and buts. Like, I don't know if we can get aligned in what those goals are, but if you want to be here at BYU, tight end may be the best move. And it was, like I said, it was a collaborative effort. It wasn't a surprise. It was something that we involved him and his family with, and everyone got on the same page, and he's great with it. He's all in, and the guys looked phenomenal.
I think it's really cool. I want to see what they do with him. They've got a deep wide receiver group, and I hope guys like Keanu Hill don't take that as some slight. But that's also a position maybe that he could end up being in the NFL if he shows out. Gets a little bit bigger. He's a big body already, and so I want to see what he can do at tight end. They need somebody at tight end. You know, they've got a lot of young guys, but that's what they are, is young.
Yeah, they've got him listed at 240 right now, and you know.
Hitting the PB&J over the summer.
Let's see if he's really at that, because that's a pretty good size for him. If he's, you know, 6'4", 240 to get out there and catch some footballs
at tight end. 205?
I mean, he was skinny. I felt right?
Yeah. Maybe he's 215.
So he's definitely put the size on a little bit. Let's see how he carries that on the football field, because I'll tell you what, he's got an opportunity, I think, to be a special contributor on offense this year.
Good day for us today. We'll be able to talk to Tom from the warehouse. Tom, of course, Tom Curl and his family have been operating the warehouse for a long time.